absolutely thrilled, and I have to say a little bit giddy, if I'm being very honest, to be joined on the line by the very famous Mr. Angus McAnally. Hi, Angus. How are you?
Orla, how are you? Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm a bit kidding myself. How are you?
Well, we'll have a mutual admiration there for each other. Is that okay?
that'll do me just fine. It's funny, one of the things I've loved over the years is the amount of people I meet from all over the country who have vivid, strong memories of either something I did on television, whether it was the lyrics board or Anything Goes or just concerts or gigs or snooker or whatever it was. And it's just lovely when, however way you are, impacts on people and they remember it and they like to say hello and get a picture or whatever. I love that. And it's a delight to talk to people. And I suppose when you are a performer, it's kind of, for me, it's the oxygen of the performer. Because, I mean, if there was nothing out there and nobody feeding anything back, it'd be like playing handball against a blanket or something, you know?
Will you be playing snooker with yourself, as you said? Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't be playing snooker with anybody else.
Indeed. Listen,
I am actually fangirling on you now, because I've followed you all ever since I was a little girl, starting watching you in Wanderley Wagon when you were the seventh son of the seventh son. And then,
wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm showing my age now. And then right up until Anything Goes, which was a staple in my house on a Saturday morning. The kids don't know they were born these days because they have so many channels, but we used to just have the two, and you were on 50% of it.
I was doing some work in England recently, and I was trying to explain to some television people over there the reality of Ireland in the 80s when we were doing Anything Goes on a Saturday morning, 3.5 hours from 9:30 until just 10 to 1. And the fact that if you turned on a television in Ireland, that was the channel and the show that you got, that there was no other competition. And they couldn't fathom that. It was just incomprehensible. But it was a wonderful show. And, I mean, the name was brilliant, Anything Goes, because between, you know, Mary doing all the make-and-dos, showing you how to make a propelled rocket that would go to the moon using toilet roll holders, or Dave doing the music, or Kathy doing all the sports stuff, and then me doing all the mad, manic, magic music and whatever else was left on the table. It was a fantastic show, and I absolutely loved it. And I find it weird. Sometimes I might be doing a very formal speech or something, I don't know, to a banker or something like that. And the next thing, somebody come up and say, thank you so much, and very formal, thank you very much. And then what they'll actually do is they'll say when they turn off the microphone, oh, you know, I was a great fan of Anything Goes. I just find it hilarious, you know, it's wonderful.
It is wonderful, it really is. And I mean, you jumped out of a plane when we didn't know that you could jump out of a plane and things like that, you know, and you did all those mad sort of things. And you've 50 years you've been in broadcasting, and that's a long time in that industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've loved every minute of it. I think the fact I've been very, very lucky, first of all, to do something that I love, that I like, that I want. And then the variety of different things that I did through the years, from television to radio and to shows that I felt passionately about. I mean, I did a wonderful program back in the late 80s called Both Sides Now. It was kind of an emigration program. Initially Both Sides of the Irish Sea, then we started going further afield to America and whatever. And that was actually how I met Christy Hennessy, was in London recording for that programme. I went to his house and did a big, big, long interview with him. And he had a load of guitars there. And I said to him, Christy, do you mind if I pick up one of your guitars? Because I'm actually a guitar player. And we hit it off immediately because he saw that I actually could play. I mean, my chosen specialist field, if I was to go on Mastermind, what are you? I'm a guitar player at heart. That's what I started my life as in terms of the industry. And I drifted into television and radio or whatever. So we hit it off really well. And it was the beginning of a great friendship that has lasted until sadly he passed away. And now I'm hopefully continuing to keep his memory alive with the show.
And that's absolutely beautifully put, because I was wondering where the connection was and where did you meet him. And he has such a unique voice and a unique presence on stage that you're going to try and recreate, well, not recreate it, I suppose, but just to bring his voice back to life again.
Yeah, it was amazing. From the moment I met him, I loved everything about him. He was an amazing guitar player. He really was. His fingerstyle picking was the envy of many, 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 many guitar players. And I don't know, he had a quirky sense of humour that I immediately liked. And he had, I'm grateful to this, he had great respect for me as a guitar player, so much so that he then asked me to join him on stage at a Gaiety concert that he gave in Dublin. I went on and did the encore with him. And then he asked me to launch one of his albums, which I did. And then there's an album called A Day in the Life, which which has a song called The Box in it. And I recorded a poem that he'd written for that. And then for me, the ultimate, I was humbled and honored when he passed away. His family rang me and asked me, would I deliver the eulogy at his funeral in Tralee? And that was an incredible honor. Now, it was very emotional because and what I've tried to do in the show is that I loved everything about the songs that he wrote. And while people have a notion of Christy Hennessy that he only wrote sort of silly, fun songs like Messenger Boy or Don't Forget Your Shovel, there was a depth to his writing in his love songs. He did songs about depression and, you know, losing your marbles and trying to get them back, which are really, really powerful songs. So in the show, I take a narrative through 22 of his songs. And what I'm really proud of is the amount of people have come to me afterwards and said, oh, my God, I listened to every word of the songs as much as hearing the sound of them. And I get what you're talking about. I mean, he couldn't read or write. And there's beautiful passages in the show about how he dealt with that. He worked on the buildings in England for, you know, many, many years. And he developed asbestosis in his lungs, which eventually killed him. And like, there's a heartbreaking speech in it. And I kind of act like him. I'm a good mimic on voice and sound or whatever. So people have come up to me. And in fact, his wife Jill came up to me on stage after one of the shows and said, I want to thank you for keeping my husband alive on stage. That was extraordinary. And so it's the greatest honor for me to sing his songs. I sing them with love and affection. And for me, the greatest buzz I can get is people stand at the end, they cheer and they come up and they say, oh my God, I'm going off to buy any of the albums that I don't have of his. And that's my fervent wish, is that people will even more so appreciate his music and buy his albums, listen to him and share the joy of this wonderful man from Tralee. And to give you an example of his sense of humor, we were doing the Rose of Tralee Festival. I had a big show down there on television and Christy was a guest on it. And so I asked him in the middle of the show live, what was it that brought him to England in the 60s? And he looked at me and there was a twinkle in his eye from 10 feet away. And I said, oh God, here we go. And he said, what was it brought me to England? The boat and the train. And of course, 700,000 people watching on television went, McAnally nil, Hennessy won. Well, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, I'm just saying that it is wonderful that you're bringing him back to life. And he did, like, you know, like you said, his some of his songs, we've been playing them and you forget. They are beautifully lyrical and they are the lovely messages in them. And you're travelling around, you're starting off the show in the Cork Opera House on the 15th of September, but you're travelling around the country. You're going to Kerry, his native Tralee as well, and you're going all around the country.
Yeah, and I'm delighted to start in Cork. We had a wonderful night in the Opera House, and also we did a week in the Everyman Palace as well. So, and also Cork is my adopted home, because a lot of people don't realise that from the year 2000 to 2003, I lived in Cork. I was sent down, asked to go down by RTE to have a look at the radio end of what Cork was putting out. And so I stayed for 6 months, then a further 6 months, and I eventually bought a house in Bandon, and I lived there for 2 years, commuting in and out from Bandon. So Cork is a very special place in my heart. So we're opening up 2 weeks on Friday in the Opera House. I can't wait. And then obviously on the Sunday night, the 17th, heading to Tralee, to Christy's hometown. And talk about pressure. Talk about...
I can imagine.
I mean, the show is lovely. I'm very confident. It's a beautiful show, musically, with Ivan McKenna and Denise Doyle. It's a beautiful musical show, and we recreate the sound all. But standing there, when you realise that every single nuance, every single name that you mention, every street name that's in the narrative of this, and all the... These people know Christy Ross, you know? Funny, there's one line in the show where I talk about how modest Christy was and that it was hard to pay him a compliment, even when at one stage he outsold U2 in the album charts. And everywhere I played that show, I'd mention that line and it got a nice reaction. But in Tralee, they erupted. There was a round of applause and we're done for about 3 minutes because Christy had beaten U2. You know?
Oh, so as you say, like, there'd be Christy Hennessy 1, Bono 0 is what you say there as well, you know?
Absolutely. And it's wonderful. And funny enough, as a performer, particularly there's a beautiful speech about where he goes to the doctor and he realises that he's not well, and they're kind of giving him a time frame, or trying to give him a time frame, and there's the most beautifully eloquent speech about dealing with cancer. And I found it amazing as a performer, because you're saying the lines and you're looking out, and you know, in the sort of the haze of lighting, you're aware of shapes. You may not see absolute detail in people's faces, but the amount of particularly men that you'd see taking off their glasses, rubbing their eyes, and you realise that you've caught a moment. And the amount of people that came up to me afterwards and said, that was my story, that was my wife's story, that was my husband's story, or whatever. Yeah. And like, people hugging me, just going, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that, like, can there be a better feeling for a performer than people to come to a theatre? And what I love about it as well, if you think about it, you go to a show, maybe two people or four people, or a big group would be maybe six or whatever, and yet, whatever atmosphere you've created through the beauty of his words and his music and how you play them and the whole sort of show, that people in the end as one unite as an audience and cheer their hearts out for this man that they love. That I'm filling up with tears here.
Yeah, so am I actually. You're going to make me cry, because what better thing can you do for a friend than to keep their memory alive and remind people how wonderful they were?
Well, funny enough, on the set on stage of a beautiful triptych of, it's a beautiful canvas drawing of Christie in three parts. And at the very, very end of the show, when I thank the audience for having been there, and I turn around and the final words are, I thank Christie for the beauty and the joy he's brought us through his life and his music. And I very rarely, I'll fill it up now, I very rarely get through that speech without a tear in my eye, because it's from the heart. It really is, you know. I tell you what, you were mentioning me being in the business for 50 years. Hand on heart, it is the piece of work, and it's the project, and it's the event, and it's the thing of which I am most proud in all the work I've done, in Anything Goes, the lyrics board, my radio work, my concerts, my snooker gigs, my whatever, my comedy. This celebrating Christie's life and singing his songs and telling his story with the laughter, the fun, the tears, the heartbreak, and all of that is by far the piece of work of which I am most humble and most proud at the same time.
Well, that is such a beautiful way to end this chat with you. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you had to pick, if I asked you, like, could you pick what would be your favourite song from Christie?
Well, there are a number. Obviously, Roll Back the Clouds, and I know you played that earlier on, is the most fantastic song for life and show business, the reality of it. I think Remember Me, which I've ended up being asked to sing at several funerals recently, a song he wrote knowing that he was dying, is the most beautiful, beautiful song. There are so many of them, and it was such a wizard, and for a man who couldn't read or write, what he created was truly remarkable.
And it's been an ultimate pleasure. We hope loads of people go to see you on the 15th of September in your adopted home. You're lucky that we left you in, because we're very picky down here in Cork, you know that.
In fairness, I'm haunted.
You are, boy. Okay, so listen, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. Best of luck with it. Angus McAnally, it's been a pleasure.